With the Lord's help, I desire that we would read together this evening from the epistle of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. For our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Read the entire. This past Sunday morning, we read from the last half of the previous chapter, word of correction and rebuke to the church regarding how they were eating together or not eating together. One might think that Apostle Paul is against all enjoyment, that they couldn't enjoy their food, and that's theirs, that's what they could partake of. But the Word of God and is inspired by the Holy Spirit and put down by the pens of the apostles, those who were called of God to write the Scriptures, they call us to the greatest enjoyment. Men may have their food that they can eat, but we are called, when we come together round about the Word, to open up our hearts unto the one that is knocking. And Jesus says that the one who opens his heart to him, he will sup with him, and he with me. And so it is to the greatest enjoyment, it is to the eternal pleasure and satisfaction, one that never fades away, one that never sees fall and the trees dropping off of the leaves, but it is always spring in its lushness and beauty when we sup with Christ and he with us. He calls us to the greatest enjoyment where there's no regret. In the correction, this is what we're called to. And then this chapter that we've read tonight, it's a word of instruction, and it's also a word of comfort. And Jesus said that the servant that is instructed into the kingdom of God will bring forth from his treasures things old and new. And the word of God does that. It brings forth correction where we need correction, and it brings topics of comfort where comfort's needed, and speaks to us. This chapter speaks of spiritual gifts. If we read the entirety of the letter, we realize that in the Corinthian church, there was great value placed on having spiritual gifts or exercising spiritual gifts, and which ones you had. And I imagine that when there is value placed on something, there are those that have, and there's those that have not. And those that have not may feel like they lack. They may be envious. They may be discouraged because someone is better than them, it would seem. And I believe that as Apostle Paul's sharing these words of encouragement to the church, he's speaking directly towards those that maybe feel a little bit left out of these spiritual gifts and might not feel like they are as good as the others, or as blessed, or can be as close to the Lord. There might not be the same value placed on spiritual gifts today as it was in the Corinthian culture and in the church, as evidenced by what's written in the book. But the experience of feeling less than or being neglected and left out is no less strong today, but perhaps for other reasons. Maybe in today's culture, other things are placed on higher priority or given different value scales. Maybe today it's not spiritual gifts in the church. Maybe it's offices in the church. Maybe it's the house that we own or the car that we drive or the financial portfolio. We were reminded on Sunday night that that doesn't matter. And we need to take our eyes off of those things. But the world has its way of persuading us of its value system. And for whatever reason, we can become discouraged and disheartened. So if that is perhaps an experience that you and I are familiar with, we can take something from this word to learn how to respond to that, how to deal with that. And for the rest of you who maybe don't know what that's like, pay attention and read, because you will need it. You will need it at some time. It's very valuable. Apostle Paul begins this chapter saying that he would not have the Corinthian church ignorant of spiritual gifts. And he brings three verses of instruction for how they can discern a true person that is led by the Spirit of God compared to what was probably much more common in that time. In the Greek culture, there were many oracles. There were many of those who proclaimed that they were speaking on behalf of God. And that's what's referred to here in verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto those dumb idols, even as ye were led. Whenever you see a demon speaking through a person, it is always through coercion and force. There's brutality and an unwilling surrender. And that was how it was. Those that spoke on behalf of the oracles of the pagan gods, that they were always forced. They were always led. They were carried away. How is it with the Christian? Is it not a willing following, a willing obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit? It is. And he continues, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That would seem obvious, that the Spirit would not inspire someone to say that Jesus is accursed. But then he goes on to say, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Yet Jesus says, there are many that say, Lord, Lord, and they will not enter into the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say to us? How we can identify a tree or a teacher of the word is by their fruits. It's not merely by a testimony or a statement, a profession of faith that one can be identified. But if a profession is made, there must be an agreement with the life. Many can say, Jesus saves, and Jesus saved me, and I want him to be my Savior. But few say, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus has the right to tell me what to do and how to think and who to be with. Very few would agree with that. Even though the words might come out of their mouths, the fruit, time will tell. Then he continues with the comfort. He says, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And there are differences also, he says, differences of administrations and gifts, but the same Spirit. Those who maybe were cast down that they were not involved the way that they thought that they deserved. They might look at those with gifts and feel, wow, that's an amazing gift. But Apostle Paul directs the attention beyond the gift and beyond the person who received the gift, but to the Spirit, to the Lord, to God who works all in all. It's God who has given it. And if you are impressed with a spiritual gift or a manifestation of the Spirit, consider who it is that had given it and wonder and be thankful that it's the same Lord, it's the same Spirit that works in all of God's children. He did not give a secondary sacrifice for anyone, but he gave his very best. He does not give one a spirit of angels and one a spirit of his own, but the same Spirit. And so there's something to be thankful for in the fellowship with God, because that is the true prize, not the gift, not the exercise of the gift, but the fellowship with the Lord and the Spirit guiding us, leading us, instructing us. When we think of gifts that are received, that's a positive thing. And even children, they can understand what it's like to feel left out. Maybe when some gifts are given, maybe your parents give some gifts, or maybe there's a new baby in the house and people come and they give gifts to the little baby, and you wonder, well, what about me? Did you ever feel like that? You missed out on something good? But he also says there are differences of administrations or ministries. There are differences of operations. A gift is a beautiful thing, and it's a good thing, and it's a blessing. But there's also work involved for those who have the gift. And he speaks to anyone who is discouraged and down in their state. Maybe you can be thankful that God hasn't put an additional burden of work on your already burdened life. And maybe you can take some measure of comfort that the Lord knows exactly what he's doing and how much to put on you. It would be very easy for Paul maybe to speak to these people in a different way. Maybe to say, your perspective is totally wrong. You don't even know anything about God or the spiritual world. Your priorities are all messed up. What's wrong with you? But that would be adding a burden on someone who's already burdened. And so when we are perhaps feeling like we're lacking something, let's remember we've received everything that we have from the Lord. And he's done nothing evil to us. He knows exactly what we can bear. The same child that feels a little bit of envy when he sees the gifts going out, When mom is giving everybody chores, aren't you glad that your sibling got the extra chore? Aren't you relieved? Well, let's open up our eyes and see that the things that we perhaps lack are a blessing to us and a relief to us. It's God who works all in all. Everything that is good that can be done in the church is done through the power of God. And he's working in each and every one, in all. Then he also says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Everyone who is blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit is given that so that they can make a benefit and contribute. That goes for those with many gifts, that goes for those with few gifts, that goes for those with the prestigious gifts and those that are maybe not so looked high upon by men. The manifestation of the Spirit, every manifestation of the Spirit and obedience to the Lord is given to us that we can make an increase of the body, that we can profit all, it says. Then he enumerates some. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. The ones that the Corinthians put so highly and highly valued, that use of the tongues, Paul puts at the end of the list. But he emphasizes and repeats, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, reminding. It's not the vessel or the exercise, but the giver. And God is a giver. God has given us his best. And he wants us to use exactly what we've been given. Many people were watching in the treasury when Jesus was at the temple. And they were watching men give of their abundance. But it didn't hit their bank account at all. And then they saw a woman give 2 coins, all her living. And Jesus said that she gave the most. That was valuable to him. Would we say that the gift that God has given me, or the gift that God has given you, is not that much or not significant? No, it is. God has given it, and the manifestation of the Spirit that every man has received is given to profit with all. And it can be used mightily in God's hands. These gifts are diverse. They're various. But not one is less needful than the other. He says, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God has placed each of us in our time with the family that we have, the resources that we have, the gifts that we have. He has divided to every man severally as he will. And we teach our children, don't be discouraged or don't complain that you don't have this or that. And we want them to value what they do have. We were reminded of, I believe Apostle Paul writes in Romans, can the thing that's formed say to the thing that formed it, to the one that formed it, why did you make me thus? Why did you make me this way? Can the creature say to the creator, why did you do this? If God is the one who's giving the gifts, why do we grumble as if God is unjust? God has divided to every man severally as he will. And so, when we recognize that God truly is the giver, we realize we have to be thankful. Without him, we would be nothing. And he is given according to his will. Then the Apostle Paul brings in an illustration of the body. He says, the body is one and hath many members. It's kind of the definition of a body. A body is a organism, or it's a collection of many different members, all having its various purposes and functions, and it's put together to do useful work. And the coordination of all those parts is just a fascinating miracle of God's creation. And he's drawing attention to that as an illustration of the work in the house of God. All the members of that one body, being many, are one body. There's useful work to be done. And each and every one has an important role. He said, so also is Christ, just like the body. You can imagine, if you wanted to walk down a straight line, you might think, well, what parts do I need? I need feet. I need my eyes to see the line. You can think, all I need is my eyes and my feet. That's all I need. Well, that's great, but then do a few spins over and over. You realize how important your ears are to your balance. to be able to do the work. Something you thought maybe was, what do I need my ears for to walk along this line? Or do you ever think of what your eyebrows are for? What did they ever do for you? But if you burnt your eyebrows off, how willing would you be to go out in public, to go shopping, to be seen? Something you don't often think about, but it would make a big difference if you lost it. Apostle Paul says that the Jews and the Gentiles, the bond and the free, those that the culture said were completely different, polar opposites, he has brought together. And if he can bring together polar opposites into one, how much more can he use them when they're united in his purpose? The body is not one member, he says, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? When I'm plagued with the values that carnal man puts on spiritual gifts or temporal gifts, and place my value and ascribe my value to that, I might say something like that. See, the foot, it's at the bottom of the body. And it's looking up to the hands. Wow, I wish I could be up there. What about the ear? The ear and the eye. They're very close. They're very similar. You know, how many of you woke up ever thinking, wow, I really wish I could be Bill Gates or Elon Musk or the richest men? It's probably not a thought. The foot doesn't go to the eye and say, wow, I think I could be an intricate organ like that. No, he looks to the hand because that's for working. The ear is close to the eye. It's in proximity, a little bit higher. That's where envy sets in. It's sometimes just a little bit beyond our reach, just a little bit outside of what we have, and that's what we want, and we want it so bad. And we get so discouraged because that's not who we are. But is that the truth? Paul asks. Is it therefore not of the body? In our discouragement of the ones that are nearby and our comparisons with the nearby, like, I could be there. I could be. Satan doesn't bother with the impractical comparisons to tempt us. It's the ones that are just without our reach. But if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? How could the body perform the functions that it does when it's coordinated if it was all just one function? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. God has placed us in the body for his pleasure and for his purpose. To work together, to provide the contribution that each member can contribute, even as we had prayed, to give our all. And if they were all one member, where were the body? It would cease to exist as a body. By definition, a collection of all the different functions coordinated together to do useful work. But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But Paul illustrates here that the members of the body that we might consider less honorable or more feeble, we bestow on them more honor And eyes have their eyelids to cover them because they're sensitive. When a child is sick in our home, we spend a lot of time with them. And they're benefited and blessed by that attention. So that there would be no schism, no division, no silos within the body of Christ. That the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You can imagine that in your own body. When you stub your toe, even the little one, when you hit it up against something, your hands and your face and all of your body go and grab that toe and are involved in the recovery. And we take particular care with it. And when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When you are rejoicing in your heart, and you smile, and you share that joy, it's your mouth, it's your crinkles in the, next to the eyes, it's all of the face that is enlightened. All of the members rejoice. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So the Lord speaks to us through Apostle Paul and through the Word. You are like this body, members in particular. Various in function, various in ministry, various in gifting, and yet united. United to perform what? There are various bodies within the world. There's bodies of people that are devoted to handling health problems, and they are coordinated to do that. There are bodies that handle business problems. But the body of Christ, we can read that next chapter, that more excellent way of charity. Jesus and the Word of God teaches us that we will be known by the love that we share one to another. We will also be known as we follow our master. Jesus said, it's enough for the servant to be as his master and as his Lord. And so when we go back to those first three verses, we remember how we distinguished that man that was led of the Spirit, one who is willingly following the inspiration of the Spirit. One who says in all ways, without contradiction, that Jesus is Lord, both by word and life. This is what Jesus has called us to. This is what will identify us and what we should desire, that great gift of charity, which is the bond of perfectness that holds his body together, and strive to do everything with that love that he has loved us with. May God bless his word. Amen.
Aren't we thankful for the omnipotent Father that we serve, he who can do all things? The psalmist said, the works of his hands are verity. This is the God we serve. The works of his hands are verity. He created the firmament. He created water. He created birds. He created fish. He created all various types of plant life. All of the works of his hands are verity. This is the God we serve. Not all things are uniform and all the same. They are all in verity. And all give glory to God. And so that was one of the points that the Apostle Paul was bringing out here in this chapter, that all members of the body are necessary. And that's a beautiful thing. When we rejoice in that the works of God's hands are verity and all are necessary. The gifts that he has given unto each and every one of us are necessary. Some are more seen, some are less seen. But they're all necessary. And so we take these gifts that God has given unto us, and what do we do with them? Do we show of ourselves the vessel? No. We glorify the Lord. And so Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So the gifts that each and every one of us have been given, we are to glorify our Heavenly Father which is in heaven with. He gave us the gift. We return it to Him and give Him glory. A beautiful teaching, and the Apostle Paul says, we do not want us to be ignorant. We are to understand these things. We are all necessary. We are all to be employed. We are all to use the gifts that God has given unto us and use it for His honor and for His glory because He is so worthy. May God bless His word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.